Weird ball game down there in Norman, wasn't it? The game had a strange
feel. I thought it was very strange, personally.
Yeah, it was.
Especially the first quarter.
Well, I gave up on it. I won't lie. I started watching Arkansas and Ole Miss after the – I checked back in on it, and you'll see if there's anything going on. But, the kind of a tsunami hit the Cowboys that first quarter, and that baby was over with. I mean, that thing, they could have – going on and just played advertising until that thing was over with. But, I think it was – and congratulations to Coach Venables. That's a big win now for Coach Venables. And like we talked about, in his first year, you're in a transition year. You know, it's all crazy, and you got the crew going to SC and, the portal guys, and he's dealing with 29 new guys on the roster. And obviously, as far as a performance standpoint, it's unusual for OU to get in that position, but this is an unusual year for everybody. I thought little Gabriel played well in most of the ball game and the whole deal. And quite honestly, after it got going, I mean, these are two struggling football teams. Mike and them are Oklahoma State is they're so beat up, and we, like we had talked about with our keys and everything. We thought maybe I didn't try to find out, but, Ford and Lacey, the two defensive linemen who are really good players, they didn't play. I mean, Oklahoma State is not anything special at running back, and I'm being a little bit kind to them anyway, and all of a sudden Richardson doesn't play. Thomas Harper, the safety, who's a pretty good player, doesn't play. And one of those wideouts, Johnson, doesn't play. And they're all beat up in the offensive line. Now I'm not trying to make excuses for them, but
no,
goodness gracious. I mean,
yeah,
it's what it is, and OU plays pretty good. I mean, OU never did, run the ball real effectively. What, they end up with 175 or so. That's not a bad day. Gray didn't go crazy on them or anything like that, but I thought that baby was over with at the end of the first quarter.
Let me ask you this. Speaking of OU running the ball, okay, Gray ended up 20 for 90, which that's not bad defense from the part of OU. He had three catches for 30, so, I mean, he still had 120 yards total. But the eight OU drives after halftime, Pat, all ended with punts, except for the last kneel down, all right? So eight times, ended with a punt. The last six were three and outs. And Jenny Carlson had this morning. None of OU's second half possessions lasted longer than 90 seconds. The longest was actually a minute and 27 seconds. That of all their eight second half possessions.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. If I want to be picky about OU, they did a very poor job of. That's why OSU ran 102 plays in this game. OU did a poor job of running that clock in the second half, Pat.
It's interesting.
And they snap the ball sometimes, even when the clock is running. They snap it with like 20-something seconds left on the play clock.
If you're trying to milk
the clock, I don't know. I mean,
well, I think there's probably a lesson there for Coach Venables. And the Morning Animals did a nice job of that. And Brent pays so much attention defensively. I don't know. It's hard for me to tell whether he's actually calling signals or Roof is. But – regardless, as far as your big picture of your structure offensively, that's why it's a novel approach to actually huddle sometimes.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that sounds crazy, the very first thing you get was get in the huddle and here's how we're going to line up and you get into all that stuff and then you get into this, the no huddle concept, which is fine. I mean, that's interesting enough as it is, but, you hear me say that most of the NFL clubs, they're going to have a conventional style of attack within their vocabulary to use. That means basically huddle up, get a quarterback under center, and run real football plays. Now, from the standpoint of what you don't know, and it'll be interesting to see if somebody asks Coach Venables, I don't think he'll answer it, and he probably shouldn't. Are they totally wrong, or were they the other night? Where they totally reliant on calling things with RPOs, which means run pass option. That means you don't know where the ball's going until after it's snapped. Are you equipped? Most offenses, whatever you're lined up in, you have an element, and it's on your game plan, of call it and run it. That means if I call, I write 55 power, I run 55 power. I don't get into any kind of checks or key trigger words or any of that. I line up and run it on two or on one. And as Neanderthal as that sounds, I think what happened the other night to them as far as a basic structure of your offensive attack. You know, it'll be interesting to see if do they even have the capacity to huddle up. I know that sounds crazy, but when I watch these guys, this mode of offense that's out there now, you know, with the fast break, the multiple receiver looks, the spread formations, all the tricks and gimmicks, you know, do you actually have the capacity to get in the huddle and call a play and run it? You know, I mean, and it looked like, I mean, I don't know if that would have made the difference. I think if this Oklahoma team had played this Oklahoma State team 10 times, Oklahoma State would have been real lucky to win one. That's my gut feeling. But from the standpoint of what you got into in the second half and those numbers that Jenny and them were looking at, you know, you would think that would be a point of discussion going forward, you know, as far as your big picture offensively, because most of that stuff is normally built into your attack. You know, it just is.
Yeah.
I'm not saying what, you know, but it is funny when you got to, you know, when you got to milk the clock, you know, there is something to be said about getting in a huddle and then call the play and then let the quarterback have a, you know, a time that they're going to break and get to the line of scrimmage and, you know, all this kind of stuff where you're not, you know, the speed part of it is irrelevant. I mean, you're going the other way. You're trying to milk the clock. You want to 4-yard people to death normally. Like say, I started watching more of Arkansas and Ole Miss. And check in on this other game. I never did get the impression that Oklahoma State could win that ball game. I never had that feeling. And particularly after when the thing got started, I mean, it was like you were throwing against air. The Morning Animal said that, and it's a real good analogy. But to know it is interesting, just the elements of what your offense is made up of, you know, and how you go about it. That makes sense.
But for all the success that OSU had moving the ball, that's the amazing thing. The big upset was that they only scored one touchdown.
Well, that to me was junk yardage. That was total junk yardage to me.
Want to help your defense, I'm just saying what you should do is run some clock when you got a lead like that. And they
heavens no. No, that was weird. I mean, like I say, I was switching back and forth, and I won't lie, I was paying more attention to that other ball game after the tsunami hit in Norman. But, you're right. That will be a interesting point of discussion, probably already has been, about how you get that done. And, I mean, obviously they didn't have it as part of their offense or they would have done it, you know.
Right. Okay, Pat, let's talk about what else happened in college football the other day. We almost had a couple of top four teams go down, especially with TCU. I mean, had the very last play of the game field goal against Baylor, but Michigan looked like they were in trouble against Illinois. Georgia was, I mean, they got out with a 16-6 win against Kentucky, but was not that impressive. And Ohio State, Pat, I mean, that's a 3-point game late in that game.
Ends up
being 43-30 with a late field goal and touchdown, but it was that game was down to the wire. So what are your thoughts on what you saw, Pat?
Well, the TCU-Baylor game was about as wildly exciting as any we've had this year. Obviously, you know, being in our league, you know, I watched that entire ball game and was fascinated by it. I was pulling for Sonny Dykes. I mean, obviously because his late father's a dear friend of mine was, and all that. So, golly, here's another one that's a little bit unusual. Matt and I were talking about this off the air.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing to say.
Congratulations.
Feels
that
way.
We're all with child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up,
anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time.
Yep.
Excuse me.
Yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
You know, TCU gets down to it's third down and they're in field goal range. Well, they decide to actually run, no timeouts left, and decide to run a running play by Coach Dykes' account afterwards to get the ball in the middle of the field. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, I would have thought really, to, you know, you got to come either line up on third down and attempt a field goal then in case there's a bad snap or something. But, you know, they run the play and run the ball and run in the middle. What did they make, Matt? 4 yards, 3 yards, something like that. It wasn't anything appreciable. But and then they practiced it and did a great job of it. They run their field goal extra point team on the field. The interesting thing about that, and it got my attention a little, normally and I didn't count, I didn't have time, but you're normally your starting offensive lineman stay on your field goal extra point team.
Yeah, they sub some.
Like, yeah. I mean, there must have been 10 guys. It looked like 10 guys came running out there.
There was a lot of them. That were running out
of
the game. Yeah.
I know it. And usually you, for that reason, among others, you keep your offensive linemen in the ball game, you know, and substitute a couple of tight ends or fullbacks or somebody to be the tight ends and wings along with your holder and kicker. You know, just to where because of what they did, you run the risk of something happening. But they did it as clean as the Dickens got in there. What, the ball got off with 3 seconds left? Isn't that what it was?
They got it snapped with about five or six. Got it.
Yeah,
It was kicked with three or four and mm-hmm. maybe three by the time it was actually kicked.
And he drilled it. He drilled it. Yeah, he drilled the kick. Yeah.
Griffin Kell, final mm-hmm. play of the game. But, Pat, ooh, let's go back. They used all three of their timeouts while they mm-hmm. forced a three and out, get the ball yep. back at their own 31-yard yep. line with 1:34 to go.
Yep.
Duggan converted one third down with a 12-yard scramble, on mm-hmm. I thought was one of the big plays in the drive.
Yep.
And then, like you said, DeMarcado had that third down run down to the 23, mm-hmm. and they run the field goal team onto the field. But now Kell had earlier had an extra point go off the right upright.
That's right.
For TCU.
He had missed an extra point.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
But
mm-hmm.
But anyway, but they get out with the victory. I mean, it's just been a great run for them, Pat. You got to give it up to TCU, huh?
Well, heavens, yes. And I will say this: if Duggan doesn't, and they said it the other day, I think on the broadcast, if Duggan doesn't get a trip to New York, that's an injustice.
Yeah.
I mean, I would if I, and I don't have a vote. I would vote the guy as the Heisman Trophy winner right now. If I had a vote and was voting right now, I would vote Duggan probably won, and Stroud, the Ohio State kid, too. This is a great story for Duggan. And again, with them doing what they're doing, you know, when you're sitting there like you are, you know, guys, they're 11-0. You know, I mean, TCU is 11-0. It's not like they're 6-0 or something. They're 11-0, and you're fourth in the country. And however it's gotten done, I mean, Sonny Dykes ought to be the coach of the year. Duggan, it'd be a crime if he's not in New York for the Heisman Trophy. Personally, I think the kid ought to win it. I don't think he will, but I think he should. But, no, you know, and the whole deal, no, it's a marvelous year for them. It really is.
And K-State, it's going to be all purple. And the Big 12 title game, K-State beats West Virginia 48-31. Will Howard throws for two touchdown passes. He runs for another score.
Mm-hmm.
I say that. I mean, K-State could lose to Kansas in their final game. I know it's not wrapped up. But that was a big win for them against West Virginia. What? Not surprising at all.
What are the options? Excuse me, Craig. What are the options now on who plays TCU?
Well, Kansas State's in the driver's seat.
They're one game.
Just beat Kansas.
If K-State loses and Texas beats Baylor, Texas will go.
Because
if that happens, then Texas and Kansas State would both be 6-3, and Texas would have the head-to-head win. It can only be K-State or Texas, and K-State just has to win. Well, just have to beat Kansas.
And Texas just beat Kansas 55-14, Pat. Mm. Which, by the way, Matt, assured me two more pizzas, so the pizza count is up to 7 right now with the 5 from the Tennessee-Michigan wins earlier this year, 2 on the Texas victory over Kansas. So Bijan Robinson, Pat. He runs for a career high 243 and four touchdowns. Where was this last week? They didn't even try to run the ball against I know TCU's a lot better against the run than Kansas, but my point was they didn't even try to run the ball against TCU.
Well,
they came out. They learned their lesson.
Now, you know, you might have had the same. That might be the same issue you were talking about OU. The way these RPOs are in vogue now, that's the hot item. It's called everything an RPO. I mean, I don't know because, you know, they're not going to tell you, and they shouldn't, and you don't know. You can't tell with the naked eye. But, you know, how these things go, it could be that. I wouldn't give Texas a can of dog food. I hope they wouldn't. Surely they won't get in the final game.
They even had Jonathan Brooks come in and run for 108 yards and a couple of touchdowns for Texas in that game. They just ran all over Kansas, which, again, I don't have much respect for the Kansas defense. It wasn't any surprise to me that they did that.
Not really.
But I just still say I hated their game plan the week before against TCU. Anything else nationally jump out at you? The USC-UCLA game, Pat.
I didn't see a lick of that, Craig. I honestly didn't. I did not see any of it. Oh, you know, it was interesting. What was interesting, guys, is I had Craig that it's either eight clubs in the top 25 lost. Now, Tennessee loses. Okay. Utah loses to Oregon. Wasn't Oregon my pick, Matt?
I believe yes. I think that's right. Had the Ducks.
Throw that out there.
Yeah.
Again, North Carolina. You know, Georgia Tech beats North Carolina, all right? Arkansas beats Ole Miss. How about Navy? How about Navy? They just went down there and got after Central Florida and beat them 17-14. Louisville beats NC State. And then again, you know, with the SC and all them. But I had eight teams. Of course, you know, this time of year, each of them going to play each other. So, obviously, somebody's going to win. This was kind of every year it seems like there's one weekend, and it's normally down in here, where kind of the bomb drops.
We almost had it this weekend. If TCU and Michigan hadn't pulled it off, it would have been this weekend.
Well, then again, because you're not playing each other, but you had eight other ones that got beat.
Right.
You know, so this will be interesting to see. I mean, I'm looking at the AP. I want to get, when we come back, get y'all's best dozen or your top 25, and we'll rank the league. This league ranking is interesting. Now, that outside the top two, that baby could go all kind of different ways. Best dozen, top 12, you want to call it.
I'll hit leadoff here. Okay, Georgia 1, Ohio State 2, Michigan 3, TCU 4, USC 5, Clemson 6, Tennessee 7. I know that seems high just because what we saw, but they beat LSU and they beat Alabama. So I've got Tennessee 7, LSU 8, Alabama 9, Washington 10, Oregon 11, Penn State 12.
Okay, you had the same crew I did, a little bit different
order. A
little bit different order. Craig, you want to go or you want me to go?
I'll go ahead. I mean,
okay, go ahead.
Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, TCU, top four. I guess I'll put USC number five. I'm tempted to put Clemson there, but Clemson six. I think Matt's got a good point. I mean, with LSU, you know, Tennessee beating LSU like that. So, Tennessee 7, LSU 8 for right now, even though LSU's got a chance to do more damage because they get to play Georgia. Alabama 9, Oregon 10, and Penn State and Washington,
Yeah, we had about the same crew. Tennessee, y'all are bugging. This is bugging me about Tennessee. I was a little bit.
You dropped them down quite a bit, did you?
Well, 63.
Well, the polls only have them number 9. I mean, APL put them number 9.
I know it. I know it. 63-38 is you know. Anyway.
Yeah. Right.
I went. We're all about. I think we got about the same crew up there. I got Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, TCU. I got SC at 5. I got LSU at 6. I tend to subscribe a little bit more to. If we were playing right now, how would I view them? You know, and as opposed to
what
well,
happened.
Well, Tennessee is playing this week; they'd be in trouble because Hendon Hooker's gone.
Well, I got again LSU 6, Clemson 7, Alabama 8, Oregon 9, Penn State 10, Tennessee 11, and Washington 12. So we all had. I don't think we all had the same guys, did we? Anybody have anything?
Yeah,
anybody
no one had Notre Dame in there or Utah.
No, Notre Dame or
I think
Utah
Notre Dame would have been my 13, I think.
Yeah. And they were number 13 in the AP poll. And
they play SC this weekend. No, they play SC this weekend, don't they?
Yes. That's a primetime ABC game. Mm-hmm. That'll be going the same time as OU and Texas.
The thing that hurts Clemson is North Carolina going down the other day, Pat, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yep. North Carolina. Again, yeah, North Carolina got it. Mac Brown's bunch had it. Georgia Tech and Vandy came to life now. You know, Vandy won them another ball. They won a second league ball game.
Yeah.
So, anyway, good for them. Okay, Big 12. This is going to get a little interesting now. Big 12. Who wants to go first?
I'll go. I've got TCU 1, Kansas State 2,
right.
Texas 3, Baylor 4.
Okay.
We'll get the answer on that this weekend. Who the heck knows?
Sure.
I went Texas Tech 5, Oklahoma 6, Kansas 7, Oklahoma State 8, Iowa State 9, West Virginia 10.
And you had it about like I was a little bit different. But
if Oklahoma State was healthy, they'd be higher on this list because they probably have another win or two. But they're not, so that's why I have them at 8.
I'll go now, Craig. TCU and K-State, to me, are kind of givies. I'm like you, man. I don't think Texas is really any good, but I had TCU, K-State, Texas 3, Baylor 4, Tech 5, OU 6, Oklahoma State 7, KU 8, West Virginia 9, and Iowa State 10. That was my Big 12 rankings. All right, Craig.
Okay. Let's see. TCU, KSU, obviously, TCU, K-State, Texas, number 3. Then you get to all the 4-4 teams. So, OSU did beat Baylor. I'll go with OSU 4, Baylor 5, Tech 6, OU 7, Kansas 8, West Virginia 9, and Iowa State 10.
Well, you're not being kind to OU, is he, man?
Not that they deserve a lot of kindness.
I understand. I'm with you. Hell yeah.
They're still behind. I have a hard time putting them above teams that are like Baylor, Tech, and OSU are still a game ahead of them in conference. So, I mean, I don't know. The standing, I mean, you are, you know.
I know.
You are what your record says you are.
You are.
OU is 3-5 in conference, you know.
Yeah, but, boy, the blitzkrieg hit the other night down there. Now, I swear, that looked like the varsity in the JVs to me, you know. And I don't think either one very good, but my word. Anyhow, okay. Okay. Anything else?
So
anything
MVP,
else?
Of the weekend, Pat, is that what you want to do next? Or?
Yeah, let's see. Now, we over here. Because we include Tulsa and Arkansas in with the two Oklahoma schools when we do this kind of stuff over here, and you know, I had, you know, KJ Jefferson was my MVP, leading Arkansas to the demolition of which was a huge win for them. Again, a big
got him
big,
in the postseason.
Big yes, got him in the postseason. And Ole Miss Ole Miss got a pretty good football team. I don't think they could have pulled it off. You know, now the tailback. Rocket Sanders had 221 yards. He ran wild on him, but KJ Jefferson was the guy. Without him, I honestly don't think that Arkansas could have won that, would have or could have won that ball game. So he's my MVP. KJ, he was 17 of 22 and had 3 TDs. Now, it wasn't a massive yardage or anything, but he was very efficient. You know, big, strong guy that broke off plays when he needed to. So I got KJ Jefferson, Arkansas quarterbacks, my MVP.
Of the 4 schools around here, Oklahoma State, Arkansas, and Tulsa, I went with Sanders. I mean, I've got him for 24 carries, 232 yards, 3 scores. Who I went. If I wanted to give a cumulative MVP, it might be that Oklahoma defensive line for getting so much pressure on Oklahoma State. I thought that was, you know, the main reason that
you, me, and Craig and them, and probably one of the morning animals could have gotten pressure on them.
Man, boy, the Cowboys are struggling up front, man.
Oh yeah, they're all beat up and scrambling anyway. On a good day, they're not real good.
But I went with Sanders. If it wasn't for Sanders, I mean, if we were doing this on a national scale, let me put it to you that way.
Yeah,
it'd be hard to ignore Caleb Williams for me, the quarterback for USC.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to see that. I thought it was Oklahoma ties, and so it was a battle for me between Spencer Rattler and Caleb Williams.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at Spencer Rattler, Pat. I mean, he threw for 438 and 6 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Six touchdowns? Are you kidding me? Pat, he went into that game with more interceptions than touchdowns. 9 interceptions, 8 touchdowns. Yeah. That was, I mean, you know.
They just called better plays for him up there than they did down there.
Well, and I was talking to Cooper, and Cooper, I mean, you were in the swamp, right, Cooper? Put your mic down there. Now, you were in the swamp when South Carolina played Florida just a week or so ago, right? Here we go. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, Rattler had no answers last week. Their only points came off of a fake punt for a touchdown. And it's just crazy that he came up with that performance next week. I mean, it was just a completely different guy.
Yeah. Cooper's going, who is this guy? Anyway, Cooper Bates, our guest analyst here. Thank you very much, Coop. Anyway, but seriously, Pat, you look at what these XLU quarterbacks did, and Caleb Williams throws for what? A career-high 470 yards, all right, 2 touchdowns. He ran for 33 yards and a touchdown. He's going to be in New York for the Heisman Trophy. I don't know. He could win the thing, but it's kind of crazy on what they did. No, if it's an OU player, I go with Drake Stoops just from the standpoint that it was senior night. I thought a pretty cool deal, you know, with who he is, who his mom and dad are, and so forth.
Certainly.
And he did not disappoint. 6 catches, 89 yards, 1 touchdown the other night. I give it up to Drake Stoops.
Well, I don't think Mordecai even played. He'd probably thrown for 600 if he had played.
SMU. Well, of course, he didn't do so well on, was it Thursday night they played Tulane, whatever, 59-24.
Is that what it was? Okay.
Yeah, Tulane beat him 59-24 the other night.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing to say.
Congratulations.
Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time.
Yep.
Excuse me.
Yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
Now it's time to find out who made the biggest splash in sports this weekend. Brought to you by Aquascape Pools. Call 478-POOL to talk to a pool professional. Aquascape Pools. Outdoor living is their passion. It's who made the biggest splash in sports this weekend on WWLS, the sports animal.
3rd and 10. Rattler just flips it. Brooks to the corner. Touchdown, South Carolina. Punctuates a massive upset and a career night for Spencer Rattler. Touchdown number 6. They have exhausted the fireworks supply. Done. Shot everything they had.
Chris Fowler on ABC Saturday night. They literally shot off all of their fireworks as they put up 63 points on Tennessee. They went at 63-38. Spencer Rattler, the best day of his career. He throws for 438 yards and 6 touchdowns as they give Tennessee their second loss. And then the shame of it is, Pat, they lose not only the game but also their quarterback, Hendon Hooker, who gets hurt on the old non-contact injury, and it's an ACL, and he's gone for the year. It's just a shame, Pat.
He would have probably gotten to a chance to go to New York, wouldn't he?
Oh, no question he would have gone to New York, and he might have won the thing.
Yeah, I know it. Yeah.
Yeah, you look at those numbers, you know, that he was putting up, Pat. I mean, to numbers wise, I think he would have been pretty tough to beat. Now, again, you know, a lot of times it goes down to, you know, team that best record and things. I know it's given out before the playoffs, but 3,135 yards, 27 touchdowns, and only 2 interceptions this year. 27-2 on touchdown to interception. And a year ago, it was 31 touchdowns to 3 interceptions for Hooker. I mean, he had a great 2-year run there, huh?
I think they'll invite Rattler, Mordecai, and Williams to New York, all of them.
all right, so, Pat, what are your thoughts on Matt's Dallas Cowboys yesterday, 43 over Minnesota?
How about them Cowboys?
Well, I'm just waiting for my game ball because I picked Minnesota on purpose.
This is you did. That was
his
a reverse lock. Yeah.
Of the week. Oh,
man.
He was putting the hex on them, Pat.
It's the biggest margin of victory ever on the road, ever.
Yeah, and I want to say it was Minnesota's second worst loss ever at home. that's the best Dallas is going to play all year, probably. I'd love it if they didn't. I'd love it if they had a better game. Probably the worst Minnesota is going to play. Prescott was fantastic. But at the same time, like Craig brought up, just watching the game as well as he played, they didn't ask him to do too much. You know, he threw the ball off to Pollard, who had a great game, you know, receiving the ball. But, I mean, look, the story of the game was Minnesota couldn't block. You could have put, you know, Tom Brady and chemically enhanced him 10 times over. It wouldn't have mattered with the way that Dallas was getting after the quarterback yesterday.
And too, Matt, we talked about this, Craig, the other day, you know, Matt, with when in this case, Minnesota, when Dallas scores a number of points, and Minnesota is not equipped to play catch-up. That's not what they are. They're run it, play action, keep it close, win in the fourth quarter. That's obviously went right out the window. Now when they got to start rocking and rolling because Dallas is scoring a bunch of points on them, then Dallas cuts loose with
all
that
those pass
crew they
rushes,
got.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Well, and it's more than just Parsons. Lawrence can go get the quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
The rookie from Ole Miss, Sam Williams.
He showed up.
Oh, my
gosh.
You know, and Dorrance Armstrong, the lineman out of Kansas that was at KU a few years ago. All Big 12 defensive lineman, he had a couple of sacks yesterday. I mean, look, they can get after the passer, especially with Minnesota having their injuries in the offensive line. So, yeah, that for me, that was a fun one yesterday. I'll have a second helping of that,
people
please.
People wrote them off, Pat, when Tampa Bay beat him and Dak goes down in the opener and they lose Tyron Smith. Now they're saying, Matt, what, Tyron Smith could be back by December?
I think he's about to start practicing again.
Hamstring, yeah. Required surgery, but Pat, if you add Tyron Smith to that, and then Odell Beckham Jr., if he's just waited to see, you know, who might be the hot team to make a Super Bowl run, I don't know. It seems like a good fit to me, Pat.
Well, what they got the quick turn? They got the Thanksgiving Day game, huh? With the Giants,
big
there,
ball
right?
game on Thursday. The Giants they'll come in full of PNV after getting beat by Detroit. So this will be a very important game. You know, the Cowboys beat the Giants back week two or three, whatever it was up there. I'm sure the Giants haven't forgotten that. I'll tell you this: I know they lost yesterday. I don't know if either one of y'all saw on the Fox pregame show. Aaron Andrews had a sit down with Dable.
I saw part of it.
He's a pretty impressive cat, man. Now, I don't know, Pat, you know in that league, NFL sometimes stands for not for long. I mean, next year they might have a down year and everybody might want to run him out. I don't know. But I'm pretty impressed with him. Just, you know, Patty talked about how he heard a lot of no's, you know, in the interview process, you know, at a lot of different places. He heard, you know, no a lot. No, we're going to go with somebody else. No, he finally stuck it out and I know yesterday wasn't the Giants' day. I'm just saying it looks like to me the Giants got the right guy at the head coaching spot.
I wondered about him early on. Isn't he the guy, Matt? We might have talked about it during preseason or whatever. If a position guy made a mistake, they made the coach run a lap.
No, that was the last coach. That was Joe Judge.
I'm sorry. Thank you. That was Joe. Okay, makes me feel better about this guy then.
Yeah,
okay,
I don't think that was him. I'm pretty sure that was the last coach, Joe Judge.
Okay,
but his coach is running last.
No, this guy, I saw it, and you know, it was a great interview. I saw Jimmy's from Johnson's remarks about it.
Yes,
the whole thing. No. This guy does that's pretty interesting.
I think Dable went down and flew down and talked with Jimmy, I believe. You know, because Jimmy has a lot of those coaches fly down.
Sure, they'll come down there, certainly, all that kind of stuff. And if you didn't, they probably should. Good, you know, but no, that was a very good interview. You know, you came away from it, I'm like, you feeling pretty good about the guy. You know, he's not exactly a fashion plate.
No.
You know what I mean? I mean, but he's just a regular ball coach.
Yeah.
He's just a ball coach looking guy that you know, is kind of a foot soldier and came up that way. And
Lombardi and Hallis weren't fashion
job.
Plates either. So
I'm with you. Yeah. That was a good piece, and you feel good about the guy.
Now, having said that, Lions got after him yesterday, forced, three or four turnovers, and it wasn't the Giants' day.
Three straight wins for the Lions going into Thanksgiving, two consecutive road wins. Pat, how about the Patriots-Jets? The first touchdown of the game comes on a punt return with 5 seconds
left. 5 seconds left. I was flicking around, and all of a sudden cut back over there, you know, in red zone or something, and hit back over there. I'm seeing the kid running back. I'm not aware that it's within 5 seconds, you know, and then
Marcus
all of a sudden
Jones.
Game. Oh, yeah. Lord, yes.
So
goodness
the Patriots,
gracious.
Pat, have now won 3 in a row. They're 6-4. And they own the 14 straight now over the Jets. Oh, that's got to be a tough one.
Hey, and let me tell you this. Zach Wilson, he's going to dig himself a hole. Wasn't it last week where he said he didn't care? And I guess, I mean, this is the right approach, but he basically lashed out at the media and those outside the building last week.
Right. Mm.
And then he, and I think you credit the Patriots because they're really coming together defensively, but yesterday it was awful. And I guess, you know, after the game, he wasn't taking all that much accountability or whatever. I'll tell you this. I think Robert's, is it Sala? Is that how you pronounce his name?
Sala.
I think he's done a really good job up there, but we're about to find out how good of a coach he is because the it sounds like things are starting to get restless in that locker room. Like the receiver from Ohio State, Garrett Wilson, he was spouting off yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, bad moon is rising inside that locker room, and that coaching staff and the leaders, whoever the leaders of that team are, they better get it together.
Yeah,
you're right. I tell you who is struggling, and no surprise the way they run the organization, is the Houston Texans guys.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, Washington heavens. Got after them.
Oh, my goodness sakes. Yeah. They can't get out of their own way.
Yeah. Commanders are 6-5 now.
Yes, they are.
That division is NFC East. Well, both these divisions are really tough.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.